The Book of Daniel, number 49, Unveiling Truths, the Midnight Cry, Islam's Role, and the Final Testing Process in the Last Days. Key Takeaways. This article discusses the prophetic significance of the Midnight Cry message in 1844 and its relevance in the present day. It emphasizes the role of Islam in the Third Woe and the three powers leading the world to Armageddon, the United Nations, the Papacy, and the United States. The article also explores the rejection of prophetic truths by certain individuals and the consequences of such rejection. It connects these themes to the unsealing of the Ulai River vision in 1798 and its ongoing significance. The article highlights the increase in knowledge and the testing process that occurred when the vision of the Ulai River was unsealed in 1798. It mentions the significance of the Midnight Cry movement in 1844 and its representation of testing truths. The article discusses the current unsealing of the Midnight Cry message and its restoration of Miller's jewels. It points out that the primary theme of the prophetic message today is the role of Islam in the Third Woe, as represented in the Book of Habakkuk. The article notes that the Midnight Cry message began to be unsealed in 2020, marking the tarrying time of the last days. It draws parallels between the present message and the progressive development seen in the Millerite history, leading to a decisive point represented by the Exeter Camp Meeting. The article mentions the rejection of prophetic truths by certain individuals, as seen in Isaiah's narrative and Christ's parables. It connects the rejection of truth to the distinction between the wise and the wicked in Daniel chapter 12. The article emphasizes the importance of understanding the prophetic truth of the daily in this context and its connection to the rejection of truth. It discusses the consequences of rejecting the message of the Midnight Cry, leading to judgment and separation. The article highlights the significance of William Miller's understanding of the daily and its relevance in the present day. It mentions the ongoing battle over the two witnesses represented by the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. The article closes with a quote emphasizing the importance of remembering the Lord's guidance in past history as a source of confidence for the future. The increase of knowledge that was produced when the vision of the Ulai River was unsealed in 1798 produced a testing process that reached its climax in the movement of the Midnight Cry in 1844. The Midnight Cry of the last days that is now being unsealed has been represented by that history and includes the very same testing truths of that history. For the Midnight Cry message that is now being unsealed is a restoration of Miller's jewels. The truths that we received in 1841, 42, 43, and 44 are now to be studied and proclaimed. The messages of the first, second, and third angels will in the future be proclaimed with a loud voice. They will be given with earnest determination and in the power of the Spirit. Manuscript Releases, Volume 15, 371. The primary theme of the prophetic message of the Midnight Cry of our time is the role of Islam of the Third Woe. The three woes of Islam are all represented upon the two tables of Habakkuk. The message of the Midnight Cry of the last days began to be unsealed at the disappointment of July 18, 2020, when the tarrying time of the last days arrived. Just as the Midnight Cry message of Millerite history, the message of the last days is progressively developed until it reaches the point represented by the Exeter Camp Meeting. At that point, the virgins either have the oil or they don't. Isaiah's pronouncement of woe upon the scornful men that rule the people of Jerusalem identifies that the vision has become to the drunkards of Ephraim as a book that is sealed. In the passage of Isaiah, the work of changing a satanic symbol unto a godly symbol, as has been accomplished in the history of Adventism, is to be esteemed as potter's clay. That work was establishing the definition of the daily as a symbol of Christ when it is a symbol of Satan. When Daniel employed the word Tamid as a symbol of paganism, he chose the word for a symbolic purpose, for the word means continual. There are three powers that lead the world to Armageddon, and the first of those three powers is the dragon, paganism. The dragon began his warfare against God in heaven. The dragon carries on that warfare until the end of the thousand-year millennium, when he is finally destroyed. And when the thousand years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for ever and ever. Revelation 27:10. The beast, the papacy, that is the second of the three powers that leads the world to Armageddon, and the false prophet, the United States, the third of those three powers, both arrived in history after the history of the cross, and both are destroyed at the second coming of Christ. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation 19:20. When Daniel chose the Hebrew word continual as a symbol of paganism, Satan, he chose a word that identified that it is Satan that has continually fought against God. The other two powers are only active in their warfare against God for specified periods of time. Daniel's choice of the word tamid, continual, was purposeful and accurate. As Isaiah's narrative of woe upon those who the Lord poured out the spirit of deep sleep and closed their eyes continues on from chapter 28 into chapter 30, he records, "Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." Isaiah 30:8-15. The table that is written is the tables of Habakkuk chapter 2 that were designed so that those that read them could run and spread the message. The book which made note of the table is Habakkuk. The table from the book of Habakkuk represents a testing process which manifests a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. The rebellious people that refuse to hear are those in Jeremiah that refuse to hear the sound of the watchman's trumpet. "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." Jeremiah 6:17. The rebellious are those in Isaiah's history and also in the history of Christ who would not hear. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Isaiah 6:9-10. Isaiah's deaf rebels can hear, but they don't hear, and their refusal to hear identifies that they understand not. It is Daniel's wicked, who are also Matthew's foolish virgins, who do not understand the increase of knowledge represented on the table that is noted in the book of Habakkuk. If Isaiah's deaf rebels would hear, they could be converted and healed, but their heart is fat, so they cannot understand the message of the midnight cry. Jesus provided a second witness of the deaf rebels. "And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Matthew 13:10-17. The wise understand the mystery of the parables, which is truth that is represented line upon line. The wise are blessed, for they see and hear. And the wise and the blessed are both represented in Daniel chapter 12. The wise are those who understand with their hearts the increase of knowledge, represented by the table that has been noted in the book of Habakkuk. And the blessed are those that wait. And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth, and cometh to the 1,305 days. Daniel 12:9-13. The Millerites correctly understood that the 1,335 days began when paganism, the daily, was taken away in the year 508. The blessing was promised to those who were waiting in 1843. The word cometh in the passage means touches. The year 1843 touched the year 1844 when it concluded. When the year 1843 concluded, the tarrying time of Habakkuk arrived, and a blessing was pronounced upon those who waited as commanded in the book that noted the tables. The book of Habakkuk commanded those to wait for the vision. Daniel identifies the history of 1798, the time of the end, when his book was unsealed, and there was then produced a three-step testing process, purified and made white and tried. That process reached its conclusion in the manifestation of the hidden history of the seven thunders. That hidden history is the three waymarks of truth, represented by the first disappointment, the message of the midnight cry, and the great disappointment. The blessing of arriving at the first disappointment represents a three-step testing process at the end of the history of 1798 through 1844. The history of 1798 through to the great disappointment of 1844 typifies the history of 1989 through to the soon-coming Sunday law. There is a blessing promised for those that wait for the vision that began to tarry at the first disappointment. The wise of Daniel 12 are those who are blessed and who wait. The wicked are those who do not hear with their hearts and who do not see. The entire experience of the Millerite movement is summarized in Daniel's four verses, and those verses also represent the history of the sealing of the 144,000. The sacred history represented in those four verses is premised upon understanding the increase of knowledge that was represented upon Habakkuk's tables, and the increase of knowledge Jesus identified as he taught through the methodology of line upon line. He presented parable after parable in order to explain the mystery of prophecy to the wise. The wicked in Daniel 12 do not understand, and in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, their lack of understanding is represented as a hatred of truth, which brings strong delusion. The truth which the wicked do not love in Paul's letter was the daily, and in Daniel's four verses, the prophetic truth that is specifically identified is the daily. Jesus told the disciples that they were blessed, and in so doing, he was contrasting them with those in Isaiah who refused to see and hear, that they might be converted. Those that are blessed in Daniel 12 are those who wait. The four verses in Daniel chapter 12, and also the fulfillment of those verses in the history of the Millerites, and also the contrast of Isaiah with a class who refused to hear and see, and also the very same distinction of the two classes by Christ, all point forward to the hidden history of the seven thunders that arrived on July 18, 2020. The final testing process of Millerite history that began at the first disappointment is now being repeated. Some will see, and others will refuse to see. All the messages given from 1840-1844 are to be made forcible now, for there are many people who have lost their bearings. The messages are to go to all the churches. Christ said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Blessed are the eyes which saw the things that were seen in 1843 and 1844. The message was given, and there should be no delay in repeating the message, for the signs of the times are fulfilling. The closing work must be done. A great work will be done in a short time. A message will soon be given by God's appointment that will swell into a loud cry. Then Daniel will stand in his lot to give his testimony. Manuscript Releases, Volume 21, 437. William Miller was led by angels to understand that the daily was a symbol of pagan Rome. Sister White directly confirmed he was correct in that understanding. That understanding, which was represented upon the tables that are noted in the book of Habakkuk, is for the time to come. The unsealing of that book manifests a rebellious, lying children. Children is a symbol of the last generation, so the time to come, in Isaiah's passage, is specifically marked as the last days of the investigative judgment. Isaiah states that the lying children will reject the prophetic message represented upon the table that is noted in the book. For they say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." In 1863, Laodicean Adventism began an escalating process of fulfilling the request of the lying children. That work is represented by Isaiah as rejecting the old paths of the Millerite foundations, for they said, "Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." The path which is the way is Jeremiah's old paths. Thus saith the Lord, "Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." Jeremiah 6:16. The lying children's rejection of Jeremiah's old paths is the rejection of the message of the midnight cry, which is where rest is to be found, which is also the rest and the refreshing that they would not hear in Isaiah, which is also the refreshing of the latter rain message. That message is the message of the midnight cry that is represented in the history of the Millerites and illustrated upon the tables that are noted in a book. The lying children's rejection of the message of the midnight cry is represented by their desire to cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before them. Ellen White's first vision, which Alpha and Omega would certainly employ to represent the end, identifies the path of the righteous, marking the light at its beginning, and who it is that leads the wise unto the end of the path. They had a bright light set up behind them at the beginning of the path, which an angel told me was the midnight cry. This light shone all along the path and gave light for their feet so that they might not stumble. If they kept their eyes fixed on Jesus, who was just before them, leading them to the city, they were safe. But soon some grew weary, and said the city was a great way off, and they expected to have entered it before. Then Jesus would encourage them by raising his glorious right arm, and from his arm came a light which waved over the Advent band, and they shouted, "Alleluia!" Others rashly denied the light behind them, and said that it was not God that had led them out so far. The light behind them went out, leaving their feet in perfect darkness, and they stumbled and lost sight of the mark and of Jesus, and fell off the path down into the dark and wicked world below. Christian Experience and Teachings of Ellen G. White, 57. It was the light of the midnight cry in the beginning and at the ending. It was Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, who they wished to cease from being in front of them. The light from Jesus's glorious right arm was the light of the midnight cry, as represented upon the tables that were noted in the book. The lying children's rejection of the message of the midnight cry of Christ and the path they were to walk upon brought God's judgment upon them as they fell off the path. The high wall that is broken suddenly is the wall of separation of church and state that is destroyed at the soon coming Sunday law. That judgment comes suddenly at an instant, and it will be as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. It is the judgment that is associated with turning the satanic symbol of the daily upside down and identifying it as a symbol of Christ. Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Isaiah 29:16. The daily is the prophetic truth which ties together the four verses in Daniel 12 that identify the distinction between the wicked and the wise. The daily is the truth that is hated by those who receive strong delusion in 2 Thessalonians. The daily represents the desire of the lying children to cause the Holy One of Israel to get out of their way, and their punishment is represented by the breaking of a potter's vessel, and what remains is an illustration of the lost condition of the foolish virgins, for with the broken and remaining pieces of the shattered potter's vessel there shall not be found, assured to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. Both fire and water are symbols of the Holy Spirit, as is the oil in the parable of the 10 virgins. When the midnight cry comes suddenly at an instant, as it did at the Exeter camp meeting in August of 1844, it will be impossible for the lying children to find any oil, water, or fire. They were called to return after the first disappointment, as was Jeremiah, but they refused. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Jeremiah 15:16-21. Jeremiah represents those who returned after the first disappointment, those who entered into the work of separating the precious from the vile in order to stand before the Lord and be as the Lord's mouth. They are those represented by Daniel in chapter 9 as understanding their scattered condition and thereafter praying the Leviticus 26 prayer. They are those represented by Daniel, Jeremiah, and Habakkuk's watchmen who are contrasted with the lying children. The lying children were also called by the Holy One of Israel when he said, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Miller's jewels are the truths represented on Habakkuk's tables that represent the test of the midnight cry message that produces two classes of worshipers. The symbol of the rebellion that is manifested against those jewels is the daily. Miller was accurate in his understanding of the daily, but his understanding was limited by the history he lived in. But the jewels he was used to place upon the table in the center of his room are now shining 10 times brighter than they did when Miller first placed them upon his table. They are now in a casket that is larger, for the casket now represents not only the Bible as it did for Miller's time, but it now represents both the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. It is these two witnesses that produce the testing light in the last days, and it is these two witnesses that become a primary battleground in the last days. Miller saw the battle, for in his dream they took his casket, the Bible, and tore it up. John, representing the wise in the last days, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John was being persecuted for believing the message of both the Bible and the writings of Ellen White. We will continue the consideration of the truths which are represented by the vision of the Yulai River that was unsealed in 1798 in the next article. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and His teaching in our past history. Life Sketches 196.